And by now, I'm certain Eric has rushed out to see the new movie Ex Machina, which is an extremely unnerving, extremely intelligent thriller that uses the sexy robot archetype to really push the question of how real artificially intelligent creatures can be. The lifelike robot in this movie has been invented by this super-rich alpha male tech genius. He invites a shy young programmer who works for him to his fabulous lair to test whether she or it has achieved true consciousness.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Caleb.
Hello, Caleb.
Do you have a name?
Yes. Ava.
I'm pleased to meet you, Ava.
I'm pleased to meet you, too.
Ex Machina is the first movie Alex Garland directed. He wrote the novel The Beach, as well as the screenplay for the seminal modern zombie movie 28 Days Later. And he is here with me now. Alex Garland, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So there is, as we've heard, a long line of attractive female robots in cinema going back to Metropolis in 1927. When you got the idea for this film, were you thinking, okay, we've got to make Ava distinct and different and not too reminiscent of any of these others, or male robots for that matter in movies?
Yes, definitely, in as much as that the first time we see her as an audience member, I didn't want audiences to then be thinking about another movie at that moment. You want the audience to be locked in and responding to Ava as Ava. And there is a thing that happens within film. It's very easy to be self-aware and to reference other films.
Oh, it's like 3PO's sister.
Exactly, yeah. And in fact, you mentioned C-3PO, one of the design things we discovered was even a little bit of gold in her design immediately made you think of C-3PO. A metallic torso made you think of Metropolis, and white plastic made you think of iRobot and so on. Huh. So the first part of the design was actually ruling things out rather than defining what she actually looked like.
Huh. So hypothetically speaking, and you must have thought through this since a lot of this film is about, so do you want to have sex with her, kid? Would you hypothetically have sex with a robot?
I would say I have no problem with that question, in truth. I would say hypothetically, yes. The reason I would say yes is that the thing that we value in each other, I think, is our minds. That's actually where human rights and everything we care about stems from the existence of our consciousness and our minds. And if a machine has a mind in the way that we believe we have them, everything then flows from that. And could you be attracted to a machine that had an aesthetic form that you liked and had a mind? Well, why not?
At one point, the Nathan character explains why he gave Ava sexuality, and I want to play a clip of that scene.
Sure.
Did you program her to like me? Or not?
I programmed her to be heterosexual, just like you were programmed to be heterosexual.
Nobody programmed me to be straight.
You decided to be straight? Please, of course you were programmed, by nature or nurture or both. And to be honest, Caleb, you're starting to annoy me now because this is your insecurity talking. This is not your intellect.
That's Oscar Isaac and Donald Gleason in the film Ex Machina. In the movie, Donald Gleason plays this nerdy programmer, Caleb, who apparently falls in love with Ava. Is he attracted to what? To the person?
To the package, mind?
Yeah,
I would
say.
The
whole package.
Yeah, to the package, exactly. That is to say, if the machine Ava had the physical attributes that is presented in the film, but spoke in the way that Siri in your mobile phone speaks, I don't think the attraction would happen.
Yeah, I'm never attracted to Siri.
Well, quite.
You never in the film, I think, call her a robot. She's always referred to as an AI, artificial intelligence. Why?
It's really an intention. It's a film about consciousness, which may or may not be housed within a machine. And so I guess it's about keeping it on point, maybe.
Well, and so much of the AI in movies that we've seen have not been embodied. I mean, HAL most prominently was not. And then a couple of years ago, maybe more to the point, in the Spike Jonze movie Her, she was not.
Yeah, I haven't seen Her.
Really?
No.
Did you avoid it?
I avoided it, yeah.
I'll bet.
I think 2001... It's very interesting question about embodiment, because there's a very strong argument that says that consciousness needs to be embodied in order to...
That's a serious philosophical scientific argument.
Yeah, very much so. But you could also say Hal is embodied in the physical structure of the ship and with this beautiful, strange eye lens that we keep returning to and we visually associate with him.
Yeah. Caleb is ostensibly brought there to subject Ava to a kind of modern version of the Turing test. Can she convince a human being that she is conscious and human? One of the pieces of dialogue in the movie is about this that the Caleb uses is, oh, it's like a chess computer. How can you know if the computer knows it's playing chess, which chess computers don't?
Indeed.
And of course, I find this question of will machines ever be sentient fascinating because how do we know? They're not just in some machine-like way doing the ultimate simulation. I mean, do you have a are you agnostic on that subject or do you think they'll get there?
I tend to lean always more towards atheism than agnosticism, I would say. My atheism in this particular instance would be about what consciousness actually is and whether we perceive it ourselves correctly.
Oh, that we're just machines who think we're conscious.
Well, I think we are machines, yes. Essentially. Yeah. And I think we do think we're conscious.
Yeah.
But I do think we probably slightly dignify what consciousness is, yeah. over dignify, maybe slightly deify.
Yeah.
So look, here's this thing you set up. Can you tell whether this machine has a consciousness and what is it thinking? You ask a question that feels like a natural question to ask of this machine. It turns out you can actually ask that question of each other. A lot of your sense of my consciousness is actually an act of faith.
Yes.
You believe you have a consciousness and
yes.
you then decide I probably do too,
yes.
because of the, I'm like you and because of the way I behave.
Yeah, yeah.
But to actually prove it or demonstrate it is pretty tricky. And then you can actually ask that question of yourself. And suddenly the whole thing gets a bit uncertain.
So I take it that you are not on the side of those nervous people, especially in England, where they have all these institutes for how AI is going to destroy the world.
Yeah. Centers for Existential Risk.
Exactly, yeah. At Cambridge and Oxford. So you're not on that side of the feeling. You think, this is going to happen and we'll make – and they'll be our descendants in the universe.
It's complicated. I mean, I'm ambivalent, I suppose. I think that typically when something is possible, we do it. And in that respect, if AIs are going to be possible, then the argument is not should we or shouldn't we, but how are we going to deal with it when it does happen? If what we're talking about ultimately is the creation of a consciousness,
yeah.
To me, again, that relates to parenthood. We routinely create new consciousness.
This is what the machines want you to think and want you to be saying. They've convinced you. You're just their propagandist.
But it's also what I want.
Yeah.
They might be at some point all of us that survive, and we need to get on board with that and decide whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I see it as, in a way, something evolutionary.
Right.
They're not – we can choose to see – an AI, a strong AI, as being distinct from us, or we can see it as a product of us. That's why I keep coming back to this child thing. The limit, like the very least we want of our children is that they have at least lives that are as good as ours and that they outlive us. And I sort of attach those kinds of thoughts towards these machines.
Well, you put that argument, which is one of the arguments of the AI singularity people, much better than they do, so congratulations. Alex Garland, this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Ex Machina is out right now, and I talked with Alex Garland for the better part of an hour. And if you want to hear us geek out even more about robots and the singularity, you can listen to that full conversation at studio360.org.